Welcome one, welcome all to episode 218 of the Xbox Expansion Pass, recorded on Saturday, March 9th, 2024. I'm your host, Luke Lore, the Insipid Ghost, joined by my co-host, the Intrepid, Captain Logan. And in this episode, we chat about the latest gaming news out of the Xbox Partner Preview, which provided a wonderful glimpse into the immediate Xbox future. As always, we hope you enjoy the show. Logan, we like to start the show by offering words of kindness to those who have made our gaming weeks better. But first, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I stayed up a little late diving into hell last night. And it wasn't a Meatloaf song, but I got my mech, and that's all that matters.
There you go.
Because it's freaking cool.
It is cool. I've been having a blast in Helldivers this past week as well. I've been diving solo, been doing quick play, like not talking to the people, just jumping in, which is its own level of fun chaos. And then, of course, we dove last night with our gaming crew, which was a good time. That really is a wonderful game, and I'm seeing a lot of people jump in on PC, on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I really wish this game would come to Xbox proper, so more people could experience it, particularly as we're seeing the excitement build for Sea of Thieves on the PlayStation side. Yeah. I really would love to see another community get into Helldivers, but I'm having a blast. And I feel like a lot of the Xbox community is also on the PC side and enjoying it there. But yeah, that is a really good game, and it's uncomplicated. It's a very simple game.
That's what I like about it. It's the fact that the game is like, you don't really have to think about stats. You got like a couple stats for your armor, and that's about it. The main draw is like, what weapon do you like, mm-hmm. and what stratagems are going to be best for the scenario that you're going into, mm-hmm. and that's it, man. Like, it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. I don't need a skill tree. I don't need a progression bar. I just need to have. It's what's fun about Sea of Thieves, man. You just jump in. You don't have to think about like what's the damage rate. Mm-hmm. What's the they got games like that out there, but I like just having this kind of arcadey fun, and it's simple enough, mm-hmm. and it's like the action is compelling enough, mm-hmm. that it doesn't really feel like the friendly fire is a thing that people are like, I'm gonna go in and grief people,
right?
It's like they're having enough fun killing stuff.
Yeah.
And in the theme of like spreading democracy is a good rallying cry for the community to get behind. Mm-hmm. It's surprising.
It's been nice because like our game, our community, like our crew, right? The people that we tend to play with, we get into Fortnite, we get into COD, we get into Diablo. I would say Halo, Helldivers now, Sea of Thieves, but Diablo and COD have so many progression bars that they can be daunting at times. Like you can play COD as just a jump in and go, which is tends to be how I do it. Right. But our buddy Kev, he wants to maximize every gun and unlock everything. And that's too much for me. Same with Diablo, like getting the min-max mm-hmm. approach. Having the simplicity, I think, is great. Sea of Thieves does a good job of this. Helldivers, to your point. I like not having to worry about leveling up a gun to unlock a thing. It's a matter. You want medals, you want stratagems. You need samples, you need experience. Go. And I like that simplicity, especially as I... and the only one of like six people playing Suicide Squad's Endgame, which isn't very complicated. I guess you would say the game has a lot of problems. I mean, we did our review, but I'm just like going in there being the DC universe, but there's too many numbers. And it's just like, I just want to play. You know, to get the most out of a lot of games, you got to have numbers. And I like that. Totally Helldivers doesn't.
Yeah. Suicide Squad's set up really well to min-max the way Diablo 4 is, and it's mm-hmm. great for those number-crunching nerds out there that got their spreadsheets open on the second monitor. But for me, I just like to go in and punch stuff. Mm-hmm. You're just a big old stupid idiot just punching stuff mm-hmm. or shooting a gun that does not care what its name or power level is. I just like the sound it makes when it blows things up.
Agreed. Fully agree, man. Well, Helldivers is, of course, satiating a lot of gamers right now, including us. I do hope if you're playing it, listeners, drop a comment on YouTube, because I would like to see, like, what do you like fighting the automatons? Is it the bugs? What's your jam? Because I find joy in both of them. I didn't like the bugs on easy. I needed to get into a harder, more challenging play with four people thing.
When you get the chargers going.
Yeah, yeah.
The stalkers.
It was a little too easy there, but the automatons have their own level of fun. You can play that solo, whatnot. And now I'm just having a blast with it. So let us know, listeners, if you're playing it. Logan, of course, the partner preview is our main topic this week, but I saw a little kind of nugget of info that I liked coming out of Boosteroid. Remember that cloud gaming service that was part of the, you know, as Xbox was divvying out its cloud rights around the world to kind of make sure that their games could be played in multiple places, but also not have a monopoly during the FTC thing, you know? Yeah, that's really what it was. But Boosteroid, Boosteroid is one of those, not xCloud competitors, because it's making use of similar technology, but it allows Xbox games to be played via cloud. And if you subscribe to Boosteroid, the first batch of purchase games are available to those gamers. And reason this is important, I think, is because these are purchase games, not necessarily games that you access because of Xbox Game Pass. So these are the first instance of games where you bought it, you can play it on cloud, not needing to have Xbox Game Pass. And I think that's a big deal. It's just a small slate, just a small slew of games, but as someone who is ready for games outside of Game Pass to be available on xCloud, I'm ready for that. Admittedly, my goal is to play Diablo, not via Game Pass. However, that's going to be solved soon, because I just want to play it on my phone with my backbone. But I think it's a big deal that you can play games that you've purchased via cloud. I think that's the future of gaming. This is kind of the first instance of that. Was that your take? Did you notice? Did that raise?
No, this isn't a big deal, because you know why? Because Boosteroid doesn't make a console, and it's only a big deal if you make a console and your games go there, like it goes somewhere else. So, you know, this being a cloud thing where Xbox games are going third party, that's not, no, we shouldn't be talking about this, because honestly, like if you care about this, then you're a minority user and you should really just be buying a PlayStation, because that's realistically where it matters to have these games.
That's fair. Especially, you know, the small slew of games, they're all Xbox first party, but they did ruin Xbox by being available in other places.
It's true. Personally,
I sold my Xbox actually the day Pentiment could be played by other people.
Did you?
Yeah.
Totally. See, totally. I was holding on to mine because I wanted to have it as like one of those things. It's like the Nintendo Virtual Boy, where people are like,
I really want one of those. I'm not even kidding. I really want one. I always wanted one growing up. I could never get it.
Let me just kind of break that down for you. Don't bother. It's a dumb system. It really was terrible. The games are not fun.
I know.
And it's just a pretty looking piece of hardware. That's all it is.
So cool at Target back in the day, man.
Oh yeah,
well, walked in, cool. You put your face in there, you got all the. Yeah. Maybe that's where my eye issues came from, right?
Yeah, he's stuffing your face into things you don't really pay attention to in the public. Yeah, I could see that.
Boy, there's a lot of jokes in that.
There is. I thought this was cool. I'm glad that Boosteroid cloud users are going to get access to a lot of the games that have already been third party or have just recently gone third party. I don't know. Should we list them off?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Deathloop, Dishonored 1 and 2, which I still haven't played. Dishonored Death of the Outsider, which I didn't even know existed. Gears 5, which I still need to play. Gears Tactics, which Luke loves.
Great game.
Ghostwire Tokyo, which is a pretty cool game that's not a Hogwarts game, but it sure looks like a Hogwarts game in Japan. And then Pentiment, which is an indie gem from a AAA studio, which is really awesome.
I will never enjoy Pentiment, but I know it's really good. You know what I mean?
You're like, such a dork.
I appreciate that it's really good. It's like, I look at it,
I'm
like,
I can't get past the art style to enjoy this masterpiece.
No, it's just too much reading. We've talked about this time and again, you know,
Luke Lore is illiterate. This is the teacher teaching your kids, folks.
No, it's like, dude, let me just quick sidebar for any nerd.
Oh God, here we go.
I had to, we finished Flowers for Algernon, which I'm sure many people have read before. So I had to relive that death scene four times yesterday. And I'm just like, ugh, cause it tears me up every time. It's rough. It's rough.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. So
I cry.
I cry. I get teary eyed cause I just lost my dog. So it's like, oh, you know.
I know.
But I thought this was cool for Boosteroid customers. I know there's probably not a lot, yeah. Especially, I mean, like, I would be surprised if anybody listening to this show is even subscribed to Boosteroid. If you are, I do want to hear from you just because I'm curious. But I hope this paves the way for xCloud. I'm surprised it's not xCloud users first, but it's still neat. And I hope, or rather, I see this as being the future. So I'm cool for that.
Remember, I can't remember who he was talking to, but Phil Spencer had like responded to someone on Twitter saying that
somebody messaged him on Xbox Live.
Oh, and is he that answered. What it was?
He's like, this year.
Yeah. This year when we'll finally, because that's been a thing that they said they wanted to do is to give players the ability to cloud access or stream their games that they've purchased not in Game Pass. And I'm like, I would love that. I would actually really like that because it's essentially like what the PS Portal is doing, right? Mm-hmm. You can play your games wherever you want and streaming. You can do that on your phone now, but it's only Game Pass games. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to have the access to the content that I have purchased streaming since I am paying for xCloud through Game Pass Ultimate.
There's quite a few games actually that I have no interest in playing on my console. Like I'm thinking about, this is an outright game. So it's like a kid's game, right? They make kids games like Star Trek. They made some Star Trek game. They make a lot of Nickelodeon games. They're making one of the three new Ninja Turtle games that is coming. They made a Justice League, like Cosmic Chaos game, right? Where you run as Batman, Wonder Woman, or Superman, but like you're, it's kids. It's for kids to play with their parents, right? I would play that on my backbone, sitting there while we watch Castle or some crime show like my wife and I. I would play that on the couch. But if I'm on my console, no, I'm not. I'm playing something. I'm going to play Helldivers. I'm going to play. Yeah. So that's why I'm going to play something else, like something more console-y.
Something, you know, that warrants the power of the Xbox Series X with 4K resolution and up to 120 frames per second.
Yeah. Teraflops, all of them,
all the teraflops into your eyeballs.
But my point is, like, I want to use my console for console-esque experiences, but on my backbone, yeah, I'm chilling. I'll play whatever, you know. I'm just, you know.
People that don't know what a backbone must be so confused.
It's true, but also if you're listening to this show, I feel like you would. A backbone is an attachment for your phone or cellular device that turns it into a controller.
I really like this airplane announcer, Luke.
Thank you.
Can we
please place your tables in the upright and locked positions? And for God's sakes, turn on airplane mode or we're all gonna die.
Why do people not do that? Respect the freaking airplane mode. They programmed it into your device. It's not hard. I don't care if you don't think it matters.
I think the people that don't turn on airplane mode are the same people that think it's okay to wear pajama pants and Crocs in public. Neither is okay, and you should feel ashamed.
Crocs in general frighten me.
Now that I've alienated all the users and listeners of this show, good. March 2024 had some cool games coming.
It's true. Yeah. Now that the cream of the crop are just listening, let's talk about Bolt Gun.
Yeah.
Baby.
Bolt Gun's a good game. That's in there.
That's, we got Paw Patrol World.
Yeah, that's like another one of those like outright games, kid games, which is good. SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom's in there.
Kevin Ainsworth loves that. Have you played that?
No. No. There's a good chance if Kevin Ainsworth loves it, I don't. That's the best part.
I'm going to sit down and play the Justice League Kitties game on my backbone. I can't be bothered just to play SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. It's just childlike. I won't have it. No. Where's my cereal?
It's so true. It's so true. I'm so judgmental. Oh, but God. Also, like, if Kevin likes it, Kevin, shout out to the Muffin Mon, Project X Talk. But if he likes it, I probably don't. That's my favorite. Like, it's a real thing. I have noticed this every, because I sit in their chat. I often look their chat on Thursdays. Their show goes live on Thursdays, him and Jam Pack Sam. But like, if Kevin's into it, I'm like, nah. And Sam is also like that too. Sam's always so diplomatic. He's like, well, man, I'm really happy for you, and I'm glad you're going to be enjoying that. I'll be over here.
I just want to shoot stuff in Halo.
It's like, yep.
Love Sam.
But dude, yeah. Control Ultimate Edition is in coming into Game Pass. That is the GOAT. Such a good game.
Can we talk about that real quick? I got a quick thing I want to share about that. I was watching a I can't remember what the video was, and I'm so sorry for the person who put a lot of effort into this, but they were showing the complexity with being able to blow up different or shoot parts of a desk where it would explode. And it would actually like take into consideration like the construction of each part of the desk. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, exploding tons of desks in a room and having all of that actually be represented in the reflection in the glass of a picture frame on the wall. And we can't get Starfield to have 60 frames per second on console. Like,
yep.
It's a skill gap in my mind, man. There's so many devs out there that are making excuses that 30 frames is all they can eke out for some of the stuff. And I'm looking at like Control, like these people are just better at making games. Like, ooh, they're just talented. Ooh. And I'm sorry, but I'm not the best at my job. There are far better people at the job, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, there's no way I could possibly handle this project. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that. Like, I recognize my shortcomings. I'm probably not the best podcaster. Otherwise, I'd probably have a much bigger following. So I recognize there's better talent out there. Mm-hmm. We could just admit that and be like, yeah, you know what? We couldn't do it. We didn't know how.
So, yeah. See, I like the idea of admitting it. I like the idea of admitting it because, like, I've been playing... 30 frames per second has been a conversation point, right? We saw it with Starfield when that launched, Gotham Knights when that launched. Yeah. There is a game coming out, or is it
Dragon's Dogma 2 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fine.
Yeah, it's very strange, the 30 frames per second thing. I will tell you, my brain adjusts to it after a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very playable. I don't mind 30 frames per second, but it's certainly not 60. Like, like I can play with 60 and I'm much happier. 120 is god tier for a console game. Oh. Like, it's just amazing.
It feels so good. I don't even want to get into it because it's going to sound bad, but it feels so good.
It does. And I understand what you're saying, but I do think that sometimes we make too much of a deal for it. I don't think these consoles have delivered on the promise of power. There are very few games I see delivering on the promise of power, but it does frustrate me when I see 30 frames, but it is not a deal breaker, right? It is not a deal breaker.
I'll still play it.
Yeah, totally. And I've had fun in many 30 frames per second games and been just fine. But it should be 60 or better, without a doubt. I think it should be 60 or better. But to Control Ultimate Edition's biggest thing, if you've not played that game, I strongly encourage it. That is Remedy, to me, at their best. I think that is Remedy's best game. The Ultimate Edition is just special. Like, it's really, really good. It's complex. It's odd. It's got that Remedy uniqueness that maybe some people, I thought Alan Wake was a little too eclectic, a little too down its own.
Eclectic or eccentric?
Oh, we did this last time. I think it's both. So it's just
odd. It does have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And so when I look at Control, I think that's the perfect medium between the very obvious like approach of some games and the very, very eccentric and eclectic approach of others. Like, Alan Wake 2 is very Kojima-esque, and Sam Lake is a little too off his rocker in Alan Wake 2, even though the game's fantastic. Control is a wonderful middle ground, and the Ultimate Edition is just top tier. So I really want people to go play that. But
Control is very much like the thing that they know is going to be the broader appeal. Whereas clearly Alan Wake 2 is the passion project. Like, Control's paying the bills so that Alan Wake can exist.
Yeah. Well, either way, Game Pass listeners, March 2024, you're going to get to play that. Game Pass listeners, Game Pass players, I should say, subscribers. One that I'm passively interested in, like if I'm bored, No More Heroes 3. I played the first one on Wii way back in the day. I haven't played the others. I would check them out. Suda 51 is odd and eclectic and eccentric. And so I, you know, I'm curious how 3 is, and I'll play it if I don't have to pay for it. So cool. Lightyear Frontier and MLB The Show kind of round out what we know right now. I feel like that's a good month. That's a good month. We just got Dead Island 2 in there. I feel like Game Pass is still rocking it.
Yeah, honestly, I would say like there's still enough meat on the Game Pass bone that people from last month that I think people should be completely sated, even if this isn't like a mind blowing review. Like, we're getting Diablo 4 next month, so you know, if you're hard pressed for games on Game Pass, we don't have a whole lot of time before we get an absolute banger of a game.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, Logan, before we just got so excited about Helldivers, we didn't do our Words of Kindness.
You're right.
And I think it's a good time to do our Words of Kindness and Patreon pitch.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get into the partner preview. I have Words of Kindness this week for Todd Oxtra. I really love Todd Oxtra in a lot of ways. Yeah. He's just a really positive person. But seeing you and Clint Coombs show up on Secret Friends Unite was really cool. And Todd is just such a wonderful part of our community. And he went to a concert with his wife. Seeing those pictures was a blast. And I was able to send him a gift subscription to Stephen Totilo's Substack, which was also cool. If you listeners, if anybody wants one, DM me. I think I have 2 or 3 more. I got Jam Pack Sam a few. But if you're interested, let me know. But Todd just is a bright spot in my week, and I wanted to give him a shout out. I enjoy him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good person. I would say X Bacon Gaming is probably my shout out. Mm-hmm. Love the conversations that we have through like Twitter DMs. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like every once in a while, like Nerd Chat will do their show. Mm-hmm. And I'll get a DM be like, hey, did you listen to the show? Did you see what we talked about? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like they're taking into consideration like stuff that I would be interested in now. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love like just being able to talk with him in general. It's really fun getting to like know people and talk about, like we've been talking about controllers recently, but it's just fun to get to meet new folks. Mm-hmm. Out there in like the Xbox community and just get to chat with them a bit. Yeah. And it's just fun to kind of like get in touch with like Dan and them and Chipotle Bear and broaden the kind of like Xbox creator ecosystem that I have right now, because a lot of folks I've been so engrossed with Sea of Thieves community that I haven't really talked to a whole lot of other Xbox creators outside of like Kevin and Ains and stuff. So it's nice to kind of broaden that scope and get in touch with more folks like PTK Blam and stuff.
Yeah. I've been noticing like we took a break last week from recording. I just needed the calm because I've just been doing a lot. And we've put out a ton of interviews lately. We put out a ton of reviews.
You've been
lately.
Working. You've been killing it.
Thanks, man. That Tales of Kinzera interview, I hope people check out. You never know.
That was a good one.
Thank you, man. You never know when people are going to be interested in indie interviews. Like we did 3 indie interviews, the biggest of which would be Tales of Kinzera. The other 2, I don't think people would have had on their radar. But you never know what people are interested in. And I want those to be out there for people, because Cliffy B, Stephen Totilo, Mike Chapman, those are going to bring eyes. But do you know about Hex Gambit or Captain Velvet Meteor or Tales of Kinzera? I want to be able to spotlight both on our little small Xbox side of the internet. So yeah. Logan, should we give our Patreons a bit shout out here?
Yeah.
Are we guys, doing him? What?
Is it you or me this week?
I think it's me this week. Okay. Yeah. I'll just say very quickly how much I appreciate those of you that engage with us on socials, particularly if you are taking the time to go over to Patreon. It's hard to get links out there because of the algorithms that kind of nullify anything that says Patreon. So if you've taken the time to go and support us there, you're helping so much on levels that you probably don't even understand. Our tier 2 and 3 shout outs get a weekly shout out. And we want to give shout outs to Chris 1H1D, Nicholas Johnson, Ellery Woods Parker III, Nicholas Downey, Rob Frawley II, Talzochi, Xbox Skittle, Matto 1606, Randall Thor 19, Silkenit, Rick Gaffney, Hafrican, a.k.a. Charles Jones, Game Positive, Jam Pack Sam, Matt Valdez, Neo Prime 33, Rick Davis, Red Beast, Xbox Mike 29, the Lord, Sir, Master, Allfather, and Provider of Family Values, James Suddy, Brendan Myers, a.k.a. The Winter Gamer, Sony's VP of Marketing, Kevin Butler, Clint Coombs, DJ Hero, and Dano12. Thank you guys for going to patreon.com/Xbox Expansion Pass. We appreciate you. So there we go. All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, Logan, there was an Xbox partner preview. I feel like we should talk about it. Big times, big things. It was cool to see that this was the third month in a row where we've gotten a message from Xbox. We had the Developer Direct, the business update, which was a lot of nothing to fill. And then we had this partner preview. It feels like Xbox is making a concerted effort with Tina Amini to deliver messages to gamers.
Yeah. And we've got, what is it, April, May, roughly about 3 months, I would say, probably before we get the June kind of E3 showcase. So it'll, I think she's got a lot on her plate right now. And I'll be interested to see if there's anything that they want to talk about in the next couple months, given that we do have the showcase coming.
Hellblade. I bet you we get a Hellblade spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either, particularly because it's all digital. They want to, like, make people aware of it.
Yeah, eyes on it. Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. But overall, a lot of great news from Xbox. A lot of focus on not only like big titles that we know that are coming out, but small stuff like this that's actually going to flesh out more of the year and have some of these like little nuggets that most people probably don't have on their radar. But if it's showcased in a partner preview, then we get that marketing kind of consolidated and focused in like one little group. And I guarantee you with the new IPs that we saw this year, or the, like the first gameplay reveals that we've seen this year, there's a lot more titles that people have like present in their mind that they most likely did not have prior to this showcase or this little preview.
Fully agree without a doubt. I think it also strengthens their bond of working with other developers, like building connections, particularly as we see Sony locking down so many third-party exclusives and really trying to like tie in to kind of fix their return of interest. Their ROI is very low. We've talked about that many times. Xbox's ROI seems to be much higher, but doesn't have the, forgive the term, market penetration that PlayStation does. So there's this weird this weird back and forth there. But I like when they strengthen bonds with developers, and certainly 11-bit Studios was on display here. They had a couple games that were included here from The Alters. And what was the other one? I'm going out of order here. Frostpunk 2. They're building relationships with the two of those. And I think there was one more, but maybe not.
I don't think there was. I don't think there was two? A third one from them. I think it was just the two. I did want to ask you before we go into like details on each of the games. Did you think that this came off as kind of a mid show as far as like value or quality?
So not quality. Not quality. No, I thought the show was actually very good. I really enjoyed it. But it definitely felt like it had a very, very weak impact on the week's gaming news. I did not watch this live. I was just work and other stuff. And that night, because of the very low like impact on my socials and even in our Discord, which is not Xbox only, but Xbox centric, of course. XCP is an Xbox centric show, but we have a lot of, you know, third party gamers in there with us, and it nobody was talking about it really. There wasn't much said. There was a very little bit where people on our feeds were talking, and so I didn't even watch it that night. I chose to play Helldivers and just hang out with my buddies instead. And so I watched it the next day, and I really did enjoy it. I thought the quality was quite high. I really saw several games that I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to play that. I want to pick that up. Interested in that. Didn't think I would be. But none of it was like mind-blowing. I wasn't like shocked at anything. There was no big game, no one thing. When I looked at last year's partner preview, I guess Alan Wake was that for me, where I was like, yeah, good to see Alan Wake. It's a big game. This one, there was no big game that I saw. I saw, like, I had moments where I'm like, I'm definitely interested in what sleight of hand is going to be. What is Unknown Nine? What is The Sinking City? That's Frogwares, who I've interviewed before. They're that developer out of Ukraine. Like, great to see them on display. I know Final Fantasy 14 is a big deal. The Stalker trilogy, really cool to see that happening. But none of it was like, yes,
yeah,
you know. So it made maybe an impact, but that all of it looked good.
Yeah,
okay. I saw some stuff Kevin Ainsworth was excited for.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was curious about, because I think at the end of the show, like, I watched it a couple times and I was like, yeah, those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple games that I'm actually genuinely interested in, which mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, if this is just a partner preview mm-hmm. and there's at least a couple titles that I'm like, okay, I'm definitely kind of down for these.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. It's done its job, because mm-hmm. I don't expect everything to hit for me, and I don't expect everything to be AAA status. But we got new IP, mm-hmm. which most people listening over the last year may realize, like, I like when we see new IP. I think new IP should be invested in.
Mm-hmm.
Stop going back to the same well and, you know, cranking out those remasters and those remakes, because mm-hmm. I know you need the money, but there's got to be something there. There's got to be something bigger in the future.
Unless it's a game I personally want, and then I'm all for remakes and remasters.
I'm so tired of hearing about Banjo and Kazooie. Oh my God.
Yeah, but what about Arkham? That's all. I'm just kidding.
Well, we're going to. That's different. We can go back to. No. Well,
thank you. Okay. See, it's a game I want. All right. We're cool. Cool. Cool.
No, I'm just teasing you, because I don't care. We don't need it. We already have it. It's already in backwards compatibility. It's already got the Xbox series features.
No. All right. See, the way it does 4K, it looks a little muddy. It's not important.
Okay, Joe. All right. Your Bloodborne is never getting updated. Just let it go.
I love that he can't get Bloodborne. A lot of new IP. You're right. You're right. There were what?
Should we get into
right
it?
Off the bat? Three or four right off the bat. And
yeah,
they look cool. Unknown 9. I was in.
I'm there for that. I think that Unknown 9, it's an interesting premise. It's set in the Middle East, and a girl who has the ability to, like, possess people mm-hmm. and cause them to use their attacks against their cohorts, their fellow soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Or she can just sneak around and just rip souls out of people's bodies and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's macabre, but I've never seen anything seem less aggressive for it being so macabre as this. It's and I'm like, that's kind of cool. But developers Reflector,
mm-hmm.
it's being published by Bandai Namco.
Cool to see Xbox working with them, by the way. I like that.
It's good to see that, because it's a good partnership. Summer of 2024 on Xbox Series platforms. No word about Game Pass or PC at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Ty Guy Travis had a good little write-up about this. So did Joe Scrabbles. I don't know if it was Joe Scrabbles.
There's stuff on the Xbox Wire about it, which is worth looking into.
Yeah, I can't remember if he's the one that wrote it up or not. But
I'll look it up. Keep going.
I thought it was a really nice little kind of Assassin's Creed style game. It's going to be something that's kind of rooted in that kind of duck in the bushes, sneak up on people, or just go all in and actually and just kind of take on enemies head on, which mm-hmm. I think is fun. I think it's very interesting. But there's a whole backstory to it and stuff as well too that extends beyond, like, what's going on in her world, because it's actually, she's kind of coming into these powers and finding out more about, like, what that's happened and stuff. But mm-hmm. You found the information on who wrote up the article, or?
Yep.
Okay.
Jennifer Benjamin. She's the senior editorial content manager at Reflector. So she was able to write it up for Xbox Wire, which they do often. Yeah. Xbox Wire is good for, admittedly, it's curated for Xbox. Like, they're not going to publish anything terrible, but, like, they go and they see the content creator or the content managers for the different games, and those people write up articles for them. So that's
right. Yeah. You're right. Cause I remember, I know Joe Neat and Mike Chapman for Sea of Thieves have done stuff for Xbox Wire, from Rare as well. This one, I was like, okay, I want to understand who the Unknown Nine are. Mm-hmm. And the Awakening is the characters awakening into these powers. It's a very straightforward name.
Mm-hmm. You were telling me you were upset that it does star a girl instead, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's
dude, all the talk
one,
about
one day removed from International Women's Day, you're gonna throw that kind of shade on my plate and try and see if you can stir up some heat for me.
Your words.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
@Cap_Logan on social.
Yeah.
No, I was there. I liked it. I thought it looked great. I am. To me, that is a day one, but not one I'm like, you know, like cheering. I'm like, all right, sweet. That's a game I definitely want to play when it comes out, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be up my alley as far as like gameplay goes. Mm-hmm. And it's the setting is unique enough where I'm like, okay, this feels kind of like Assassin's Creed Mirage, but just a different take.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just directly stabbing people with swords and stuff like that, you're actually kind of going more of a spiritual soul route, which will be interesting. The thing that I liked about Travis's write up on it was there was a little bit of concern about the repetition in possessing or hijacking enemies to use their powers against other people, and how he didn't feel like there was enough variety in that to really sustain for a long period of a game. So I'll be very curious to hear how long this game's gonna, like, what the completion average is.
If it's 8 hours, I'm happy. That's what I want. 6 to 8.
That'd be cool. I'd be fine with that.
The new game Sleight of Hand, I also got a kick out of. That was another new IP that we saw there. I loved that trailer because it's this third person action stealth game, probably more stealth than action stealth, but it's a third person stealth game. It reminded me of the art style of Compulsion Games. It is made by Riff Raff Games, not the same. But I liked it. I thought it was a cool, you know, stealth game where you move around this pretty stylized world. It's like this, got rain everywhere, and it's very slick. The color's very noir.
Very noir.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought that was a cool looking game. No word on when it's coming though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't have much details on this. For those that are listening, you play as a woman named Lady Luck, who is a framed witch. She's trying to uncover the truth about what her coven is actually doing in a very kind of 1920s noir film style. The focus here, the gameplay seems to be designed around having cards, and each card is an ability that you have. So if you want to disappear, you would use the Misty Step card, or at least she pulls a card that says Misty Step. There's cards that can turn people to stone. There's cards that can distract people. I'm someone who, because of games like Hearthstone and Slay the Spire, I'm very turned off by the idea of card games. It's a style of RNG that I don't appreciate to the extent. Like, I know that there's like a whole way you can manipulate the build of a deck to be able to like pull cards that you want to on a more consistent basis. That whole meta for card games to me is too complex for my brain to work out. I'm not good when it comes to probability. I don't play poker for that reason. So stuff like this always kind of like puts me on like the fence about whether or not I'd be interested. If it didn't have like card mechanics and it was just a straight up sim, you know, with weapons and regular stuff, I probably would be a lot more interested in it. But the card thing is kind of like bringing a little more hesitance than I expected.
Well, give it time. I think because we don't have a date, there's probably a while before we see this game in like a fully playable state. So yeah. I would keep your eye on it, I guess what I would say.
Oh, yeah. I love the style, though.
Yeah.
Great style.
11-bit, they put out another trailer for The Altars, which a lot of people are really excited about. I can't get excited about The Altars. I do want to interview them. I'm reaching out to them. But I just don't, there's something about it that doesn't click with me. This is a game where you have to get off a planet, you make alternates of yourself, and you're trying to basically save yourself, and each of your alters plays a role. Like one might be a mechanic, one might clean, one might go and be the head honcho and research something. Nothing about it clicks with me. I'm glad it's on Game Pass, because if I try it and love it, I'm in. Yeah. But I feel like it's low stakes to buy into.
It's interesting, right? I made a comment about how this is like in that scene in Avengers Endgame where Doctor Strange is like meditating on the planet with Tony Stark and Peter Parker, and he's like trying to find the timeline where they're able to actually beat Thanos, and he scrubs through like millions of different timelines, mm-hmm. and he comes back and he's like, there's only one. I searched mm-hmm. millions. It's like, this is like, if you made the game and you're like, of all the choices I made in my life, if I could go back in time and change one choice, what would my future have been? That is what this game is, except that you're a dude that's alone, that's trapped on a planet. And now you have to manifest those what ifs into mm-hmm. people and then actually work with them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ideas here are set up that, like, because of a choice that was a pivotal point in, you know, an epoch in your life being changed, the person that results in that can be so divested from what your main life is that there's conflict. And now you have to try and decide between your alters who you side with. And I have a hard time with that, because I think, personally, my personal opinion, the personality that you are is very much built up around the circumstances in your life. Nurture and nature both have impacts, but fundamentally, I think most people are generally the same, regardless of some of the choices that have happened to them in their past lives. Some things can be very pivotal. A near-death experience can be very pivotal in changing who you are as a human being. Prison time can do that for people as well, too. Otherwise, you know, having a bad marriage, not such a big thing. Like, everyone has breakups, everyone has bad marriages or good marriages. You know, I don't know that that would split you so far from your current personality that it would cause too much conflict. I feel like if I knew who I was, I would probably get along really, really well with me, even mm-hmm. if it was like an altered version of me. Mm-hmm. But that's just because I'm happy with who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The concept itself is really fascinating, and it plays like, I don't know if you played the Fallout Shelter game where you have a bunch of rooms and
nothing about Fallout is appealing to me. And everybody so that memes me
you
is
shut up. You are the vault boy. Just live with it. I've actually really come to love Fallout ever since 76. I've really gotten into it. I've really enjoyed that series. I really want to go back and play some of the like 3 and 4. I want to go try those games and get into it, because I like the world. But effectively, like, Fallout Shelter, for anyone that's familiar with it, knows that you have a vault, and each vault has different rooms. Each room has different tasks, reasons. There's an engineering bay. Think of it like think of it like a Star Trek ship, right? You've got engineering, you've got security, you've got the holodecks, you've got the captain's cabin, you got the bridge, you know, all these different rooms, and they're all manned by different people. But in this case, being manned by different people is just you with alternate versions. And Luke, I don't know how you would handle working in a giant facility with different clones of you. But I think I would probably be just fine.
I'd lose it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I can't stand me. Half the time I'm like, why am I freaking out about this? Do you know how many like psychological moments we'd be like, is this our fault? Is it? No, absolutely not. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Maybe that's what it is. There's a little too much onus on like seeing myself.
That's so funny. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like I'd be like super stoked to meet another version of me, because I don't have brothers. You have a brother, right?
I love my brother. Yep.
Yeah. So you get along with your brother. Why wouldn't you get along with yourself?
This is a very introspective conversation. I don't want to have this.
All right. All right.
Facing my own demons.
Okay. So creatures of Ava. Is it Ava?
Yeah. I would pronounce it Ava, personally.
Okay. This is another new IP. This is by InVerge Studios. It's coming out 2024. It's going to be on everything, including Game Pass. Alters, by the way, going to be on Game Pass. So low barrier to entry there. But
like the art style. Like the art style of this one.
Of Creatures?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't it doesn't look like a game I play, but I really like the art. It's beautiful.
This looks like what Everwild was hoping to be, right? Like there, this like somebody was just like, oh hey, Everwild looks cool. Let's make that game. And then they actually made it. Whereas we're still trying to figure out what the heck Everwild is.
Everwild should have been the Gunk, by the way. The Gunk is such a fun game. And I look at Everwild and I'm like, the Gunk somehow, I mean, some way.
It may still be, we don't know. But anyway, so Creatures of Ava, new IP. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, very beautiful art style. It looks like you control animals through music. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a snake charmer would kind of like soothe the snake kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or what's the Pied Piper? Yeah, Pied Piper, right? With the rats that would control. You have no clue what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Very rarely. Like I vaguely know.
Don't pretend.
You've got the rat king in Ninja Turtles.
Oh, my
God. You've got Rat Catcher in DC.
Wow.
I'm sure the Pied Piper is something.
Yeah, it's something. All right. So think of Creatures of Ava as like a Pikmin style game where you, like Captain Olimar, can control Pikmin through, you know, whatever he uses. Whereas this case, it's just music. You can use the creatures and their different abilities to kind of like traverse the world or open up new areas. But you still have like a wand or a staff, and the staff is something that you can use to kind of go around and clean up corruption around the earth to kind of, or not the earth, the planet that you're on, to try and save it. It looks really adorable. It looks like a really nice IP. It's also coming to Game Pass on Xbox and PC, so very low barrier to entry. And I think people are going to have a good time with it, kind of the same way that Kena Bridge of Spirits was for PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, if folks were interested in that and wanted to see what that was like, this is very much like InVerge's version of Kena Bridge of Spirits.
I agree with that. That's a good take on it. And I'm equally interested on that level. Not a lot of combat that I saw. So a lot of like problem and puzzle solving.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Cool. I'm down for that.
Same.
I dig it. The other one that I wanted to mention, I do not want to talk about Roblox Griefville versus Chucky. God, why was that there?
Two minutes.
You get 30 seconds for this trash. Go ahead.
Okay. The reason why this is in here is purely because Roblox is a platform now, much like in the latest like business update. Matt Booty had specified how like Fortnite and Roblox are becoming platforms. Mm-hmm. This is recognition of those platforms from being just a game and having multiple types of games within a game. The thing that Dreams wanted to do that failed over on PlayStation because PlayStation doesn't know how to support it. Mm-hmm. And this is them saying, we recognize how important this game actually is. So we are going to showcase it so that people think of Xbox when they see Roblox. And I just yesterday, I had some of the dads in my Sea Thieves podcast or Discord reaching out being like, I'm tired of Roblox. Is there any co-op kids games that you can recommend that we play? Because I can't do any more Roblox. Mm-hmm. That's how big Roblox is in some homes.
Oh, I know. Every Monday we talk about our weekends in class.
Yeah.
Every one of my students are like, yeah, I play games and stuff. I'm like, what'd you play? And they're like, Roblox. And I'm like, go.
That's
nice. Yeah, I die.
It's a big deal for the future kids or for the future gamers out there. And Xbox is recognizing that. I don't see Roblox stuff showing up in PlayStation because they're catering to an older market.
Roblox. You're saying roadblocks. It's Roblox.
I don't care. It's a stupid name anyway. Call it Roboblox for all I care.
It's like it's a Fortnite.
It's a Fortnite. Yes. Yeah. We make forts at night. That's what we do.
No. We meant night with a K.
We make blocks on roads.
No.
That's what we do.
It's like robot, but block. All right, whatever.
Roblox.
Thank you.
Stupid.
Sinking City 2. Not a ton to say here, except that I'm glad to see Frogwares is the developer, because we had them on the show. They're out of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Sinking City 2 is not going to show up until 2025, but it's nice to see them back making games, doing something. And I love that this is yet another game that is being spotlighted by Xbox from a developer that is struggling with like war-torn elements, right? Like, we're going to talk about Stalker. This is just one more. There's another one that's out there that was made by a Ukrainian developer. It's a platformer that's cyberpunk-esque. I can't remember the name of it, but it is nice to see yet another developer being supported by Xbox in some way. So that was cool.
Cool. It looked really good. We'll never touch it. Apologies. Too spooky. Really cool setting.
I will interview those devs again if I get a chance.
In the Arkhamverse. So maybe, you know, you get your Arkham game next year.
You're dead to me. It's not in the Arkhamverse, everybody. The city is
It is
Arkham.
In the Arkhamverse. No. It literally says the city of Arkham.
I hate you. Final Fantasy 14 was put on display there. This felt very, I don't know what the right, very...
The marketing for this has been weird, because we had like the surprise, like the beta's out. And then they're like, oh, hold on. The beta's not actually out. And then we finally did get the beta. And then the beta's like, we're finally out. And everyone's like, oh, cool. Wait, what is this little fine print here that says we have to have Game Pass and the subscription? That seems kind of weird. PlayStation doesn't need PS Plus to be able to pay for this because it already has the subscription service. So, yeah, they're going to be charging twice as much on Xbox as they do for PlayStation users.
Every win Xbox gets with Final Fantasy, it feels like it's also like it's 2 forward, 1 back. And next to Final Fantasy Rebirth coming out, it's just like, all right, what's happening here? What are we doing?
Yeah,
I just don't know how to take it. So
we're still getting shafted from Square. That's what it is.
Yeah,
like we just had an article come out that said that Final Fantasy Remake and Rebirth are going to be console exclusives. Mm-hmm. So if Xbox fans want it, get a PC, because there's no chance we're going to be getting it, just like Helldivers. So that sucks. Let's be honest about that. I'm playing Remake right now for the first time. Really good game. I really enjoyed the 6 hours that I've put into it so far. Fantastic action game. Mm-hmm. Sucks that I can't play that on my Xbox with the controller that I prefer, because it would just feel better. Might just have to start investing more into Steam, because I don't.
Steam's coming to Xbox eventually.
Get out of here with this.
Next console generation, totally.
Might as well start talking about how Roblox is gonna be.
I hate him, guys. I hate him.
Gonna be the next Gears platform.
All right, so. This next one was cool. Stalker Legend of the Zone Trilogy, which is not Stalkers 1 through 3, but it's Stalker and then like the three various expansions that came with it. Is that how you interpreted this? Because it's not Stalker 2. Well, Stalker 2 hasn't come out yet, right? But essentially three Stalker games are in one package, or you can for $40, or you can buy them separately at $20 a pop. I was surprised this game wasn't in Game Pass, and you viciously attacked me in our notes because I said Stalker. I was like, why isn't this in Game Pass? Because I associate the Stalker franchise now with Xbox in that sense. You had a very logical response that I rejected.
Yes. Yeah. And it's because they're dealing with a war right now and could probably use the support, because their game has been delayed multiple times, and we're still anxiously waiting for Stalker 2. So this is a good way for them to try and infuse the studio with some much needed cash. And sometimes the bag from Xbox for Game Pass doesn't sound as appealing as just seeing if they can get some flat out sales. Well, having this,
are you spending $40 to support this developer that needs an influx of cash, or are you like me and cheap?
I won't be now, because I just have enough that I'm playing right now. So
Logan's pro Russia. You heard it.
I'm, whoa.
I was setting it up. Caft also, underscore Logan.
Also, you're pro Russia because you said, well, I'm cheap. And that's exactly what I would expect from a pro Russia opinion.
Oh, this backfired. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Was it the pot calling the kettle black or something like that?
Whoa. Yes. Yeah, that was right.
Also, for the record, 100% fine with playing as women in video games, whereas Luke 100% isn't.
It's true.
And will, okay, and okay, will not on, pick a woman on. If he has an option.
Okay. While that may be true, Logan, the reason is in every game, I want to be me. So whatever character is closest to me, I will pick. That still doesn't sound good. I know. I'm aware. Especially because I'm blonde hair, blue eyed. I'm like, where's that option? And it's like, oh boy.
The oh boy. Default one. Yes. Congratulations. You just hit start.
Yep. Yep. Really hated Helen.
I love you, buddy. I love you. I'm glad that they're doing this. I'm totally fine if they want to charge money for the trilogy of the expansions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like Star Wars Battlefront. Like, good that they can do it. Mm-hmm. I hope that if the people want to have that, they 100% have the option to. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to the idea of like, man, it just feels like we're getting ports and remakes and stuff like that. And I'm anxious for the new titles. I'm anxious to see like what's coming down the line. Having the option to play games always goes back to what Phil says, where having accessibility for games in a digital library is some of the best way to kind of maintain like that legacy. Mm-hmm. We just saw WB make choices to rip out all of the Adult Swim games from Steam because they don't want to pay for that anymore. And the alternative was the developers of those games could actually relist their games, but they had to remove all mention of Adult Swim and any devs that were associated with it from the credits. And it's like, that's not a good way to maintain like games persisting beyond just when the studios were alive. Like, mm-hmm. you're just making money on this. Like, why would you pull that stuff? So anyway, glad they can do it.
Agreed. I'm going to speed through these last ones, bud, because I want to get to our community review of Tekken 8 and a few of the smaller stuff. Monster Jam Showdown, pretty cool monster truck game showcase there. It looked neat. I agree with you in your notes. It did look fun. That'd be a Game Pass game for me if it was. Tales of Kanzera Zao was in there, and I would rather more people go check out the interview with Abubakar Salim that I did with them. Please go watch that. Give it a like on YouTube. It's always hard to figure out how those interviews will do with the new algorithms, but I really want more people to be able to see that. So please drop a comment, a like there. That gameplay trailer was awesome. It was fun because I got to sign an NDA and talk to them about that gameplay trailer before the showcase, which was fun. It was 5 a.m., so it was, you know, I was sleepy.
Definitely read it, that NDA.
Oh, no, I told them ahead of time. I was like, I'll do this, or that. And they were like, we'll make one for you. And they did. So Persona 3 Reload had an expansion that was in there, which was cool, odd, weird.
I don't understand it. I'm happy for you, or I'm sad if it's not what you wanted.
I want to point you all to Kevin Ainsworth at Project X Talk. A game that I thought was interesting that I don't know that I'll ever play, but I do want to follow the story of, was the first Berserk Kazan.
Yeah.
The frame rate on that is intentionally stuttery is the word I'm thinking of, but that's not indicative of the gameplay experience. Cause the trailer I was like, is this a live stream? So I'm back and looked back and I was like, no, that's the trailer. Unique art style worth looking into. Sometimes games push to be different, to look different, to have a different appeal. And I'll be fascinated to see how it turns out. You know,
same. It reminds me of like a Devil May Cry, but it's just the combat looks like they put a lot of effort into it. Mm-hmm. If any of you out there are fans of the game Blasphemous, this feels very close, but in more of a 3D action adventure style. Mm-hmm. Than like the 2D Metroidvania that Blasphemous is, but think that kind of visceral combat.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good call. A game that I'm shocked I'm even excited for it, but Kunitsu Gami Path of the Goddess, that doesn't sound like a Capcom's. Game I would enjoy. What's that?
Capcom's game.
Yes, Capcom's game. I really liked that trailer. This is a good example of a trailer selling me on a game that I had no interest in based on its title. I don't know if I learn more, I will or won't be, but I really thought it was unique, cool. It was a nice blend of combat and platforming, but an odd style of both. I'm interested in that one. No idea what it's about, no idea anything, but it's beautiful and it looks fun. So
you're cleansing corruption as you're trying to become as in tune with a goddess as you can be. So you have all these demon spirits in the forest. They're causing corruption. Mm-hmm. It's your job as well as the villagers to try and pray away the evil.
Interesting. Well, I will tell you this. It is yet another example of what I'm observing as an outsider looking in, as someone who's not really a JRPG or Japanese influenced gamer, I guess you would say. Maybe that's a bad term. What I'm trying to say is, the games that are stylized in that way don't tend to appeal to me, right? Like, I think we have that conversation every few weeks or sometimes in our community episodes, because Butch and a few of our other community members are really into that art style. This, to me, is yet another example of Xbox trying to reach that demographic. Here it is, partner preview. Multiple hits on this type of game, this type of art style, this type of appeal, which I think is exactly what Xbox needs to do. But it does mean that people like me, I'm like, where's my bro shooter? Where are the gears? Where is this sometimes? Mm-hmm. But I really did like Kunitsu Gami, Path of Goddess. I thought that trailer was cool. So I'm cool. I'm in for that.
It's a game that looks really colorful, which fits really well with like the cultural design of what this is, like with the spirits and stuff. I'm probably not going to get into this, oddly enough. Like, it's not something like I was watching the trailer and I was kind of like, you know, hemming and hawing and stuff. And that's usually my point of like, OK, this is it's cool. And I recognize that. But I don't know that that's a one that I'll probably be diving into. I would actually probably spend more time in Frostpunk 2 just based on what I know from Frostpunk 1. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that it looks like they're doing with Frostpunk 2, which I think will kind of refine a lot of the tools as well as gameplay things that were in Frostpunk 1 that were maybe just like it's a little more refined of a sequel at this point. And I like kind of like the elevation aspects of it. So I would be more interested in like Frostpunk 2 than I would Kunitsu Gami Path of the Goddess.
Frostpunk 2 for me, that's where I was zoned out. You know, you have those games where you're like, I can go get water. That doesn't appeal to me per se. But when you're looking back at the games, I had at least three that I was like, yep, like I do want to play the Stalker trilogy when I have time to like process really what it is. I like Metro. I'm interested in Stalker 2. It looks like Metro is either influenced by Stalker or Stalker's influenced by Metro. I don't know which direction that goes. I'm interested in Creatures of Ava. I'm interested in Sleight of Hand. Unknown 9, day one for me, for some reason, it just appeals. So I'm like, all right, cool. Now that was a good showcase, despite a mid-level impact.
Yeah.
So, you know. Smaller topics this week. Fallout got a good bit of spotlight with its new trailer, as well as a series of controllers. You called it the Luke Edition, which I'm greatly offended by.
I made the Luke Edition for you.
Oh, you made that it?
It's a Design Lab feature. It opens up games now as a theme in Design Labs. It's the first time we've seen games in there, which means that they could be opening this up to future games. So like you could customize and create your own next Halo game controller that isn't like an Elite Master Chief series thing. But it's
screenshot this and I would.
Well, I mean, I put in our Discord, I put a link to what it looks like.
Oh, will you send it to me? Or not a link. I'll put it in the video version.
There's a really way you can go in, kind of customize your little bits and bobs and stuff like that. But the overall theme is there for Fallout.
It's funny and annoying. I'm seeing.
I love it. I think it's beautiful. It's kind of like a weird Where's Waldo theme, but it's all like white and black, so there's no color for all the Vault Boys except for like one. But then also, like, because of the Fallout show, which looks absolutely freaking amazing. I cannot wait for that show. I really want to watch it like sooner. April 11th is too far out for me. Mm-hmm. But Fallout is, they got a dynamic background for the Xbox Series consoles as well, too. I will once again, I will once again ask why Sea of Thieves still does not have one.
God, I hope PlayStation gets one.
That would be hilarious. Well, they don't have anything like, I mean, they just have the cover art for their stuff. So we already have that, but hey, no dynamic background.
Speaking of shows, Halo Season 2 is really good. I really like Season 2.
How many more episodes?
I think we're at one left. There's one out now that I haven't watched at the time of recording this, but I probably will by the time this is out. But I really like Season 2, except for Quan Ha. They need to cap her immediately. She's a terrible character.
Wow. Hating women again.
I noticed that you said you liked this Vault Boy controller because you liked the white in there, and I thought that was really uncool.
It reminds me of you.
9 days after Black History Month, you're saying that. It's crazy.
Reminds me of you.
God, we're so canceled. All right. Let's see. I want to credit Clint Combs with something, if you don't mind. We had an opportunity to play and review Tekken 8, but that wasn't really in our wheelhouse. Clint took that on for us. He got us a review about 2 weeks ago, but one of our episodes was so packed we wasn't able to get it in there. I believe that was when ACG joined us, and then I needed a break, so we took a break from recording. So this is a review from Clint Combs on Tekken 8. And if you don't mind, I'd like us to rotate paragraph readings here. Do a little tag team on this one. So I will start us out. This is, again, Clint Combs, one of our amazing Patreon supporters, as well as just a wonderful member of the XCP community. You can see him on a number of different XCP community episodes. But this is his review for Tekken 8. This is a Tekken 8 review from a noob played on Xbox Series X. He says, "Let us be honest. I haven't played Tekken since the third installment. Back in 1997, when Netscape was the preferred browser, Tamagotchi was all the rage, and we weren't texting until 2 years later. Yeah, it's been a while. Except for reading some fast reviews and watching videos of fighters who have come and gone throughout the years, I had little knowledge of the fighting genre."
27 years later, however, I decided to loosen the fingers and crack the knuckles in order to return to the fray with Tekken 8, and boy, have things changed, and all for the better.
When I first started the game, the intro cinematic that welcomed me was very captivating. It was a very captivating look at the beginning of the game. The characters were showing off their moves and generally bashing the heck out of everything in their path. It was wonderful, but by the conclusion, I realized I had no idea what I had just witnessed, other than that it was cool. After all, I had missed several entries and was utterly lost in the plot. When I got to the title screen, however, I discovered an options area that contained all of the footage from previous Tekken games. This was quite beneficial for someone like myself who had missed previous games or simply wanted to catch up on the story. Once caught up, it was time to leap in for what I expected to be a solid thrashing, but not by me.
I selected the story mode and proceeded. Now, keep in mind that the last fighter I played included moves that were difficult to learn and required multiple distinct button inputs to simply begin a basic combination. I was very pleased to learn that Namco has included a quote-unquote easy mode for the controls. It felt like I was fighting a character from an action game, like the Dynasty Warrior series or the most recent Granblue Fantasy Relink. I instantly started throwing combos and juggling my opponent into the air. Turning on these simple control schemes helped me get back into the genre and allowed me to thoroughly enjoy the game. There is a more advanced control scheme for people who are more into the genre, but as someone who is new to fighters or only dabbles in them, it kept me interested in the game and made me believe I was some Evo tournament big shot.
I finished the game in around 4 hours, but with higher difficulties, I'm sure this could be extended. You could also play through the game as each character to unlock their stories. Tekken Ball, which is volleyball with a Tekken twist, that can be rather humorous, addictive, and a good way to play a few minutes if you don't have time to get into anything heavy.
Graphically, I was very impressed at all the character models and fancy effects that would happen during combos. Stages were very brilliant and well thought out. The Series X runs at a dynamic resolution of 3840 by 2160, which is 4K for Luke, at a very stable 60 frames per second.
Beautiful. All, Yeah, that is cool. All in all, Tekken 8 has definitely gotten my interest in the fighting genre a lot higher than it used to be, thanks to its great story and welcoming controls. A very solid 8 out of 10. That was Clint Coon's review. Yeah, that was cool. I'm really glad he enjoyed it.
You know what I learned about this review?
What's that?
That Tekken is carrying the torch for fighters and volleyball games that Dead or Alive has dropped.
I had, all right, stick with me here. This doesn't sound weird. I had a very weird dream about Dead or Alive volleyball for some reason. It was not, it was like me trying to explain to somebody why there was a Dead or Alive beach volleyball game at all. And it came because of the Stellar Blade thing Joe was telling us about.
Because there's this
outfit in Stellar Blade where like it's nude colored on a nude skin character-esque, and so it looks like she's just
very suggestive.
And I was like, that can't be that bad. And then he sent us a picture and I was like, oh my,
I know. Right, like, that's goodness. He's like, they left nothing to the imagination. I'm like, no, I'm sure it's, come on. And I finally saw it and I was like, oh wow, they really did that. They don't care.
All right.
It artistic very... freedom, go for it.
Yeah, there is something to be said for artistic freedom, but I was also like, ugh, I don't know.
If that's what they want to do, that's, I'm interested in playing that because it looks like it's fun, a really fun game. Can I confess to you something though? Yeah. As a young teenager in the early 2000s, I was very surprised and impressed with the Dead or Alive volleyball games. I was one of those guys that had like my full CD collection ripped to the hard drive on my original Xbox. And the fact that Dead or Alive Volleyball, which I found from working at GameStop, that we had like a demo version, because like the Xbox kiosks used to have like a demos of games and stuff like that. Playing the Dead or Alive Volleyball game with friends on that kiosk sold me on the Xbox with Halo. To the point where I then bought an Xbox and four controllers and a LAN switch. And I got so engrossed in volleyball, dude. I don't know.
Like the Dead or Alive volleyball or like just volleyball games?
Dead or Alive volleyball.
Gotcha.
I grinded everything in that game. Everything was purchased. Like I played so many freaking hours of that game back before we had like ways to track that kind of stuff. I had no idea that I would be so into a volleyball game. But that was like, that translated into like outlaw volleyball for like PlayStation 2 eventually. But dude, like a weird found passion out of a fighting volleyball game that I was just like, I don't even know what Dead or Alive is. I really don't care what Dead or Alive is because this volleyball game is actually really fun. And the fact that I could listen to like The Offspring or like Blink-182 or Goo Goo Dolls or something, or like Metallica or Korn or something, like while I was actually playing, I was just like, dude, this is fantastic. Like this is, it's like the, like all my favorite music in a really fun volleyball game that I was not expecting. And I was like, dang. And then, you know, that just kind of like, I found out they did more of them, but I never ended up getting to play them. But I was like going back through the backwards compatibility and I was like, I really kind of want to play a volleyball game that I know is good. And I can't find a way to play those without having the old hardware. And I was just like, I don't know, I kind of miss that. I would like to actually go play like a good volleyball game.
I always had the, like, I played it, I knew it was good, but like teenage me felt guilty for liking it, and then was like, no, people are gonna think that I'm liking it because they're these super attractive character models and all
that, being horny,
all the juggle physics. And so I was like, I can't do this. But it was a good game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had a slider for that, didn't they?
Did they? It's been too long. I don't remember, but I believe it. Like, that sounds like totally.
That's got to be in an article somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine. I cannot imagine anything else but that.
That was like a thing.
It was a thing. There was this wrestling game, something Rumble, that like was in the demos back in the day. And like, what did you do before Game Pass when you didn't have money? You downloaded demos. And there was a game that had that. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. But I would play the mess out of some demos, including, I want to say, there was a Dead or Alive. And the juggle physics, that was like what they sold themselves on, was I found it distracting. And I don't mean that in like a ooh way. It was just like, all right, this is, what is happening here?
It's so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like overboard ridiculous. That's what Slayer's. Apparently, yeah. it's still a thing, but I don't know if it, I don't remember. I can't find anything that's like it was a slider.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that sticks out in my mind. I don't know why.
I'm sure it sticks out in many a boy's mind, for sure.
Fair.
And you bring it up during Women's History Month. That's crazy. All right. Well. Anyway, dude, we're so canceled as well. All right. So this is a good spot to wrap up here. I do not have any interviews currently scheduled for the next few weeks, though I do have several kind of in processing. I did reach out to, this is terribly timed, Sweet Baby Inc. as an interesting topic to touch on. They're, of course, in all types of social media controversy. I would enjoy asking them questions to figure out their take on things. If you're unaware, there are consulting that does diversity, inclusion, and education on different scripts. They comment on stuff, but there's been a lot of confusion about what they do and don't do for games like Suicide Squad, Tales of K'nZera, several Xbox titles. They've worked pretty closely with the Spider-Man team. Interesting stuff. I'd be interesting to hear from them in a podcast form. So reached out, but we'll see. That's all I've really got kind of brewing on my front for the moment. What's brewing on your side for both Keelhauled? And I think you have a review coming for us, maybe?
Yeah, so Keelhauled, a lot of news coming out about pre-orders for PlayStation Edition and beta for Sea of Thieves. I need to capture video footage of the Turtle Beach Stealth Elite controller so that I can finish up the review for that. So that's on the docket for this weekend. Unfortunately, it's just been really busy with work. And then when I get off work, all I want to do is decompress. So I just jump into Helldivers to kill my friends inadvertently.
You have to spread democracy. What are you going to do? Are you going to let anyone that doesn't spread democracy win?
Look, I'm going to kill whatever I need to get peace.
That's right.
I mean, if I have to club baby seals in the name of peace, I'll do it.
That's right. That's because you love peace and democracy. Love, and I get it. I'm with you.
Democracy.
I'm with you.
I don't care if the bugs can't get off planet. They're still a threat.
That's right. And I will spread and give cups of liberty to whomever I have to see that our way of life is not threatened.
I agree.
That's right. We take this.
I think everyone can respect that.
That's right. As they should. And if you don't, then we'll be dropping soon on your planet.
Yep. Fascist.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a time.
I think we hit enough political takes that we could justify a couple reviews of people being like they're too political.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be great. That would be so great.
Maybe we hit that threshold.
I think it's time we talk about the State of the Union. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
do we have some questions you want to go over?
No, not this week. We didn't have any come in. Anubis wrote in one that I couldn't really speak to. But yeah, there were no really listener questions for this week. Everybody was all busy dispensing liberty. Unless there was one I missed. I don't think I missed one.
I will do a quick check.
You'll do a quick check. I will tell everybody that you can find me over on Twitter, Threads, and all your socials at Insipid Ghost. And I've been using Threads quite a bit lately. Pretty frustrated with the old Twitterverse there. And you can find Logan at Capped_Logan on all of his socials as well. Logan, I think we're clear this week. What do you think? Did you see anything?
Edward Varnell, since people are awaiting all three platforms for the next console, do you think Xbox Series X library will be shortened and in a scary way forgettable? Not in a disrespectful way, but in a top number list way.
I don't think they've had a lot to make a top number of anything. Their biggest pillar games were cross-gen. And
yeah. Starfield.
Starfield didn't do what it needed to the masses. I thought it was great. I had a blast. But like I'm talking like to the masses. You're talking about like top 10 all-time type things.
Yeah.
And I think part of that problem is that when Skyrim built its legacy, social media wasn't nearly what it is now, and there weren't so many competing experiences. And for games like that, you need the mod community to really have a go. And I don't think Starfield's story is actually written yet. I don't think it's been told. I think there's more That's to come fair. In the Starfield front. It took time for Skyrim to build its legacy, and we have not seen that legacy built yet for Starfield.
Yeah.
That's my take on that one. And then beyond that, what are you going to do? Forza Horizon? Because you have cross-gen titles like Halo, which to me, I think Halo Infinite is great, but it's marred by its reception of delivery of content, which is a bummer.
Especially after years worth of delay.
Years of the delay, yep. That's a good point. Hellblade might be the case. Strangely, I think PlayStation gets too much credit for its admittedly wonderful exclusive slate, but it is sequelitis territory. The entire PlayStation 5's best games are sequels.
And cross-platform,
yep. So I think we're just witnessing a unique era of console space. But I will tell you this, I'm happy as can be with them. I'm having a blast, despite frustrated with 30 frames on at times, some of the games not doing what I want them to. And we tend to move on from games much faster than we did during the PS4, Xbox One, and really the 360 PS3 era. We just move on faster because there's more to play. You are constantly lamenting, Logan, that we will buy a game for our game crew and then move on from it. But that's just how it is. It's not like it was during the 360 PS3 era. We move on faster. But I go back solo a lot.
This is one of the, and I don't want to get hung up on this, but it is 100% the reason why I kind of rebel against the increased prices for video games, is because there's so many that having to drop like $70 for a new game every couple of months is a lot harder to do, even with the increased with the wages that we have nowadays in inflation and stuff like that. It's still harder to do than when we had like four games come out in a year for my N64, and yeah, they were $90, but you know, $90 was worth more back then. And it was like, I only got like two games out of like the 10 that released. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool. I got my two and I'll just live on those.
My only counterpoint is that I pulled up, like, I really was disappointed with Suicide Squad. That keeps coming up in our shows, right? Because it's on my mind. But I've played 3 days worth of that game. I got my money's worth, even at the $100 edition. People that purchased that edition are upset because the live service hasn't delivered what they promised or whatnot. And I'm with them, right? Like, I'm frustrated.
Yeah. It's
but
hard not to.
I've played so many hours. Do I get to be a complainer? Yes and no. Right. Like,
it depends on what you bought in for, right? Like, if you bought in expecting a year's worth of really good content.
Sure.
And
good point.
And that was your barrier of entry. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, I think there's justification there. I mean, I've put in 22 and a half hours into it. Mm-hmm. And I was sated. I got what I wanted out of that. And I recognize that the live service aspect of that wasn't what I was wanting out of that game. Mm-hmm. I was just wanting a campaign in that to see what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I got through the campaign and I was like, okay, everything after this is just repetition. And the gameplay loop is fun, but it's the variety isn't compelling enough. Yeah. So I feel like I was sated for what it was, or what I needed out of that game as well too.
That said, if you're playing Suicide Squad, anybody, let me know.
Nobody's playing that game, Luke. I'm sorry.
I know. I don't even play it to like love it. I just like being in DC comic verse. It's just that's all it is. I know. I'm aware.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Oh, God. Yep. All right. That's going to be it for us. Logan, do you have anything else before we depart for our fine listeners?
Destiny 2 released a skimmer, which is a surfboard that you can surf around on, that they should have had as a campaign reward for Lightsfall, and they've botched this entire last year's worth of content. God help them at this point.
And that is our closing message. All right, spread liberty and democracy wherever you can. Have a fantastic rest of your week, everyone. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.